Good morning. Happy to be back with you today. Thank you to Pastor Bernard and Don for preaching for me the last 2 weeks. I've kind of asked God where he wants me over these next few weeks, and we're not even going to be in a series. I'm just going to preach a series of individual messages that I feel like God has called me to preach, things that are on my heart. Next week, we have I'm planning on making a very important announcement to you that will define our church over the next few years. And so if you can be here next week, please plan on being here. I know it's Mother's Day, and I will relate it to Mother's Day, but God is doing some things behind the scenes in our church and in another church, and we're excited to see what God's going to do through that. The next week we'll be having our baptism service. We moved it up a week because we had a few that want to be baptized that are going out for Memorial Day weekend. So we moved it up a week, and then the next week will be Pentecost Sunday and Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see where God leads me from there. But today I want to just talk to you about a message that God has just laid on my heart. I didn't know if I was going to preach this week. I thought about seeing if Kathy would preach, and about the time I would be letting her know, God began what I call downloading a message in my brain. Some things started coming to me that just has to come out. And so I want to talk to you about truth today. And I'm not going to necessarily tell you what truth is, but we're going to talk about mainly the war that is going on today between truth and lies. We see this war being played out in our world. We see it in our news. We even have had a president or presidential candidate this time around that called the news agencies fake news because they were spreading lies. And we saw this during the height of the pandemic. We didn't know what to believe. We didn't know what truth was. Truth seemed to be this fleeting thing. We didn't know whether the mask really helped or not. We didn't know about the vaccine. We didn't know if we could safely gather. We had all this information being thrown around on social media, and we just didn't know what to believe. And what you're seeing is that battle play out between truth and lies. Even now, we still see this play out in our news. You can look at one news site, and they could be talking about the same story, but posting it from different perspectives. And because they're posting it from different perspectives, you get two totally different stories. And you don't know who to believe. And of course, you can't trust anything you read online. Nowadays, you can't even trust the profiles that are messaging you. I got asked for $150 this week from a hacker. And he ended up blocking me because I talked to him. He needed Jesus, I believe. This battle between truth and lies especially comes to play when it comes to spirituality and what comes after this life. When it comes to spirituality, people are even more divided. We have different religions who are promoting different things, and the different religions are promoting different things and teaching different things that are contrary to one another. So that means that someone is lying. Someone is teaching these people to follow the lies of the world, to follow the lies of Satan. And then, of course, you have some people that don't believe anything. And then you have we, Christians, who are caught in the middle of this war over truth. Ultimately, though, this war between truth and lies, this war over truth, is a reflection of the spiritual war that is going on between the one who is truth and the one who is the father of lies. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He defines himself as the truth. Because Jesus defines himself as the truth, there's a debate on where the truth is an absolute thing, so it's an absolute line, or does truth differ depending on who you are? Your truth could be different from my truth. But Jesus is the truth. He is the literal embodiment of truth, which means that truth is absolute. Jesus is the one who is the promoter of truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And on the opposite side of that spectrum, we have the devil. In John 8:44, the devil is defined as the father of lies. There at the end of that verse, he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And so what we have is truth, the one who promotes truth, the one who literally is truth, going to war with the one who is the father of lies. And we're caught in the middle of this. We're caught in the middle of this war going on between truth and lies, between the one who is truth and the father of lies. We have the devil who's promoting anything that isn't the truth, while Jesus is trying to get us to know the truth and to live the truth out in our life. And as followers of Jesus, this is where we come in. We're caught in the middle of this. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to know and promote the truth. We are called to know the one who is truth. And if we know the one who is truth, the word says that if we know him and if we believe in him, we repent of our sins, we turn to him, he begins working in us. Paul describes it as him renewing our mind so that we, as ones who know the one who is truth, we now become promoters of the truth. The church should be truth tellers. Those who are followers of Jesus should be the ones who are spreading the truth of the gospel, spreading the truth in this world, in a world full of lies. But what has sadly happened is that the very ones who are to know the truth don't know what the truth is. And we don't know what the truth is for a variety of reasons, and I'll get to that in a second. But what has happened is the very ones who are to know and promote the truth don't know it, yet we continue to speak as if we do. And so instead of being people who promote the truth, what we have become instead is another piece of noise in the world promoting lies. Adding to the chaos that we see in the world today. And this burdens my heart. I see it in churches. I see it in pastors. I see it in Christians. And I think this is one of the core reasons why the church is losing ground in the world today. It's because we have added to the confusion and chaos. Because we have refused to follow the one who is truth. If the church is not standing on truth and promoting truth, who will? And that's what we are experiencing in our world today. And I don't want you or myself or our church to be the ones adding to the chaos, adding lies into this world. I want us to be people who bring order by proclaiming the truth in this world to people who desperately need it. And if we do, we may just see God transform our community, nation, and world for the good. And so the way I've organized this sermon is I'm going to give you two words for my points. Two words, really it's eight words total, but we're going to do two words each time. So here's the first two words, word and way. And what word and way describes is truth. So truth is the word, and we know through John 1:14 that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He is the word of God. He is the truth, as we have already said. He is the one that promotes the truth and helps us to know the truth. Why? Because he knows the truth. It's comforting to me that Jesus knows the truth about everything. And he is the one that, if he chooses to, he will reveal the truth to us. He literally cannot lie. So if he says it, if he proclaims it, if it's in the word of God, then it is true. There's no question. You don't question it. You don't change based off of what you think it is. If Jesus has said it, it is the truth, period. And it is our responsibility, when we talk about word, it is our responsibility to know in our head the truth that Jesus has revealed. And we know this truth in our head through a few avenues. The first avenue is obvious. It's the Word of God as stated in the Scriptures. There are topics that are debated in our society that the Scriptures plainly and clearly address. And so if society is saying something, if our culture, if our president, if our governor, if anybody is saying anything contrary to the Scriptures, and they're saying it is truth, if the Supreme Court defines marriage as basically whatever you want it to be, not necessarily between a man and a woman, the Supreme Court is lying. Our laws don't always line up with the truth. And so when we discuss what truth is, if it does not line up with the Word of God, it is a lie, period. So we have this concrete piece of evidence to know what the truth is. But the second way we can know what the truth is through God speaking directly to us. I'm thankful we have the Holy Spirit who is with us, who is speaking to us if we are willing to listen. So, you know, this is something I think about as a pastor. It is my job to speak to the issues that we are dealing with today. And so how can I know God's position on COVID, on COVID-19? Because nowhere in Scripture does it mention COVID-19 hitting us in 2020. Nowhere in Scripture does it mention the origin of COVID, does it mention how the church is to deal with COVID, so on and so forth. But you know, if you talk to Jesus, if you spend time listening to His Holy Spirit, He'll give you the information you need to do what He has called you to do. If God wants us to know how COVID got started, let's just use COVID as an example, He probably would let us know. But if He hasn't let us know, then this is where Christians have really gotten off track. If He has not let us know something concretely, spoken directly to us, or is in His Word, we probably should not be spouting off our opinion, because we could unknowingly be adding to the lies of the world. This was the problem I saw during the pandemic. We had pastors and churches promoting these off-the-wall conspiracy theories that there is no way they could know for sure that these conspiracy theories were true. Yet, as pastors and church leaders and Christians, we are supposed to be the ones promoting the truth. And so when we were up there promoting these conspiracy theories, the things that were not true, it's one thing if you believe them. You can believe them. But what I'm asking you is don't spread it. Don't pretend to be in the position of truth teller, which the church is supposed to be, and then spread things that you don't know for sure is the truth. Because what that has done is ruined our witness in this world today. Because here we are looking like a bunch of crazy people saying this crazy stuff, and now people say, well, the church was wrong, so they must be wrong about Jesus. Because we've gotten off our focus of focusing on making disciples of Jesus. We instead want to promote our opinions about the world. That wasn't even my preaching point, so I really got into that. We should know in our head the truth as revealed through the one who is truth and the one who proclaims truth, which is Jesus. But here's the second thing, and this is one I really want to focus on, is there is a way of truth. There's a word of truth, things you should know. There's also a way of truth. Truth should lead to action. We should follow the one who is truth. We should follow the truth. We should live out the truth. But this also includes delivering truth in a way that Jesus has delivered the truth to us. Jesus would deliver truth in such a way that led people closer to God, not further away. Now, he wouldn't shy away from the truth, as some churches have done. He would tell them what they needed to hear, but he did it in a way that showed love and grace and mercy, and it brought people closer to God. You know, today we can tell the truth in a way that does not bring people closer to God. It is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to follow the way of truth or the way of Jesus in our actions. And so while we need to know truth in our head, this is where a lot of Christians and churches have stopped. They can memorize Bible verses all they want, but if it's not leading to action, hands is what's going to represent action. Know, but leads to action, then do you really know it? Because the way of Jesus will lead to different actions. And so we need to be people, as promoters of the truth, who promote truth or deliver truth in the way that Jesus has. And if we do, we can see change. But historically, the church has gotten both of these wrong. And especially in today's time. Let's look at some of the ways we get this wrong. The next two words are this: compromise and courteous. We have churches, when I say churches, I'm not just talking about church buildings or church corporations. Every church is represented by the people who are in the church. You are a representative of this church when you are out in the world. And so when we talk about the church, we're talking about people. We have people, we have Christians who are courteous, and the only reason why I went with that word is just because it's a C. But we have Christians who are nice. That's the word I was really wanting. Nice in their approach, which is the way of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is never going to shame or put someone down. He is going to deliver the truth in a way that shows grace and mercy. And while even like when he was flipping over the tables in the temple, that might not seem nice, but he was trying to communicate something. So in some ways it was nice. I think we see churches that follow this more nice approach and are more, and I hate to put labels, but liberal churches. Our liberal churches, especially in our community, they do a whole lot better job than other churches in being nice to the people who may not know Jesus. They do a lot more outreach. They focus a lot more on meeting the needs of the people in this world. And because of that, because they are nice, because they are courteous, because they're following that way, people are choosing to go to these churches because they're showing love better. But the problem is that they have compromised on the word. These churches that I'm talking about here, these Christians, they are willing to show love to people. They might run the food pantry. They might do all types of outreach to reach their people. They love on the homeless. They care about people. And it wins people to their church. But when they get to their church, they don't teach them the word because they've compromised. Instead of sticking to what Jesus has taught and what he says in his word, they choose to compromise the truth. And the truth no longer becomes the truth. Instead, they are promoting lies. We see this problem today, but it's been a problem the church has dealt with before. Paul is dealing with this in the Corinthian church. Corinthian church, they have a man who's committing sexual sin. And Paul calls him out on it. Says, hey, you got this man in your church that is committing a sexual sin. He is sleeping with his father's wife, I believe is what it is. And he says in 1 Corinthians 5:2, he says, and you are proud. He's telling the church people, you have this man committing sexual sin in your church, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this?
He says, this man is clearly living in sin. He's clearly doing something that the Word of God says is wrong, yet you're celebrating. You're proud that this man is a part of your church. They have compromised on the Word of God. They've compromised in their fight for the truth. Are they being nice to this man by letting him keep coming to church? Absolutely. But they've compromised the Word of God. Do you think this man's going to stop living in sexual sin if they're proud that he goes to their church? No. He's going to be like, oh, they must be okay with it. Paul, he clarified at the end of 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 9. He says, I wrote to you my letters not to associate with sexually immoral people. But I don't mean the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and the swindlers or the idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. So he says, yes, associate with those people. Associate with those of the world. We cannot expect someone that doesn't know Jesus to act like someone who knows Jesus. And so if you're going to interact with people in your workplaces in the world today, you are going to be interacting with people that are described here. And Paul's saying, I'm not telling you to leave the world. You still got to interact with those people. But he says, I am telling you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. Here's what has happened today. The church has went out and reached these people. Keep that up there, Zach, just so I can see it. We have gone out to reach these sexually immoral, these greedy, these idolaters, the slanderer, drunkards, swindlers, everything. We went and reached those people. But instead of calling them to change, instead of telling them that that is wrong, we say, oh, it's okay. Just keep being sexually immoral and greedy and the whole list, idolater. It's okay. You don't have to change. What we've done is we've compromised on the truth. We see this in the United Methodist Church, and this is why many churches in our area are splitting off the United Methodist Church. It's because what they have done in regards to homosexuality is, yes, they have done a great job of reaching these people. I know of a church that I'm thinking of, a United Methodist Church, that does a whole lot better job reaching people in the community than the conservative Methodist churches. But they're getting people in from the church and they're telling them they don't have to change. They're telling them that God loves them as they are, which is true. God does love us as we are, but he doesn't want to leave us that way. And so we have to be the ones telling them, yes, God loves you as you are, but he doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to change. He wants you to be transformed. When the church becomes the ones who are compromising on the Word of God, this is dangerous. I was going to say it's dangerous for the world, but it's weightier than that. It's dangerous for the souls of the people in those churches. It's dangerous for the souls of the people in this world. See, we can talk about culture getting worse, on and so forth, but as culture gets worse, realize there are souls in the balance. There are people who could be going to hell because the church has compromised on the Word of God. And what happens is these churches, they do a great job of getting these people in, and then they tell them they don't need to change. But because they're in church on Sunday morning and because they're singing songs praising Jesus, they think they are okay. They think they are secure because they act like they're following Jesus on Sunday mornings, but the truth's not being preached and the truth's not being followed. They might know the truth, they don't even really know the truth. They might be following the way of truth in terms of helping people, loving people, showing mercy and grace, but when you do not combine that with promoting the truth in word, you're leading people down a bad path. Some of the biggest churches in America today are big because of this. They're nice to the people, but they compromise on the Word of God. Let's talk about the next two words. It's water and weapon. See what I'm doing here? WWWCC. And then guess what? Those are going to be CC. I was listening to a podcast this past week by David Platt, and I'm reading his book now. It's been really good. And he talked about how truth is what is needed in today's culture. And he was comparing the truth to water. So I got a cup over here. I found a cup before I remembered last minute. He compared truth to water. And he said truth is water in the spiritual desert of the world. We have people in the world today who are thirsty for the truth. They're thirsty for Jesus, trying to fill that hole in their heart. In a world full of lies, they want to know what the truth is. And so what we can do, we are the ones who are carrying the truth. Jesus offers people living water. He says in the scriptures, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." He says, "I am what you need. Truth, me, the embodiment of truth, I am what you need in the spiritual desert of the world." And we, as truth tellers, we can carry this water out to them and give it to them. But here's how we've chosen to use it instead. We have chosen to take the truth, the water that we can give them, and we've chosen to use it as a weapon. We've chosen to splash it. Don't take a picture of me. That's for Facebook. We've chosen to splash it in people's faces. We've chosen to rub it in their faces. We've chosen to use it to shame people rather than bring them closer to God. We see this in John chapter 8. It's a story you're familiar with. It's the woman who's caught in adultery. The Pharisees, the religious people, the people who use truth as a weapon, they found this woman who's been caught in adultery, and they bring her before Jesus and says, "Hey, the law of Moses commands us to stone her. Adultery's wrong. It's a sexual sin. That's the truth." But instead of using that truth as water to lead her into a relationship with God, they've chosen to use it as a literal weapon. She sinned. Let's stone her. And Jesus, they bring her to Jesus, and Jesus straightens up in verse 10, and he asks the woman, "Where are they?" Because see, what Jesus did was he told everybody there, he says, "Hey, you who are without sin, you who have kept the truth as perfectly as you could, you that has never sinned, hey, you cast the first stone." And then he gets down in the dirt, he starts writing something. And there's theories on what he wrote. He could be writing their sins. He could be writing the laws down. We don't know what he's writing. But whatever it is, it has convicted the very religious ones, the Pharisees, that they have done wrong. And so they say, "You know what? I can't cast this stone because I have sinned." Jesus, he straightens up and he asks this woman, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one, sir." He said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." You notice what he does there? He doesn't use it as a weapon to splash in her face and say, "Hey, you're a sinful adulterer. You are someone that is in the wrong." No, he says, "You know what? This is wrong." He doesn't compromise. He doesn't do what the second level of churches do. He doesn't say, "Hey, it's okay. Just keep and be an adulterer. It doesn't matter." No, he says, "Go and leave your life of sin." He still calls a sin a sin. But he uses the truth to bring her into a closer relationship with God rather than pushing her away. Sadly, it is our more conservative churches that tend to use truth as a weapon rather than water. Our conservative churches, they love getting up in the pulpit and preaching against homosexuality and abortion and critical race theory and whatever else is the conservative talking points of the time. Not thinking that there could be people in their church who have had an abortion before. and who are struggling with the guilt and shame that comes from that. Not thinking there could be people in their churches who are actively struggling with homosexuality, and because of how they're using the truth as a weapon, they don't feel like they can talk to their pastor. They don't feel like they can talk to their church leaders because they are harking on homosexuality as a sin, and it is a sin. I'm not saying it isn't. And I'm not saying I should never not preach about it on the stage. But if I'm preaching about it on the stage, I need to back it up with that we're willing to show grace and mercy and love because we're all sinners and we all fall short of God's glory. That we are willing to lead them as I would lead the drunkard, as I would lead the idolater, as I would lead any of them into a closer relationship with Jesus. And I know it's not going to happen overnight, but over time, God will work on them and lead them into a closer relationship. But I'm not going to say that your sin is not a sin. Sin is sin, period. Not compromising on the Word of God, but I'm also not going to use the truth as a weapon to throw in people's faces. And so many conservative churches have done this. And the problem is that we are the ones who can offer the water. These churches, they've not compromised on the Word of God. We can offer them what they need, but because we act like butts. My mom's in here, she's going to get me for saying that. Because we act like butts to people in the world today, they don't want to have anything to do with us. Because we're not following the way of Jesus. And it's sad because the church is losing ground. These churches are winning people to their cause, but they're not leading them to Jesus. These people are not winning anybody. They're just choosing, they're winning people that think alike to them, who probably are conservative in their own nature, and they're not reaching other people of other political parties, other thinkings, other whatever. And because of that, we are losing the ground in this world. These churches tend to talk down to people rather than talking with people. They're doing more damage for the cause of Christ than good. So then this leads into the last two words on how we should approach people. It's with conviction and compassion. We must keep our convictions. We must keep our convictions on what we know is the truth. We don't compromise the truth. We keep the truth as truth. We should be ones who know the truth. We should follow the way of truth, which is compassion. We meet people where they are at. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 here, 20 through 22. And this was the verse that God put in my mind first thing to kind of hit this whole thing home. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law. I'm not going to read the parentheses. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. He says, hey, to the Jew, I was a Jew. I acted like I was under the law, even though I wasn't under the law. So what that means is that he probably follows some of their dietary restrictions. He observed their feast. He observed their Sabbath. He followed the law, even though he was not under the law anymore. But to the Gentiles, he didn't follow the law. He might have ate what he wanted to eat. He might have broken some of the Jewish commandments. But what he said is that, hey, I am going to be who I need to be to reach the people that I am called to reach. To the weak, I'm going to become weak. To the strong, I'm going to become strong. To the Jews, I'm going to become a Jew. To the Gentiles, I'm going to become a Gentile. I read a book, and in the book it says, nowadays we would tell Paul he's a chameleon. Paul, who are you? Are you a Jew or are you a Gentile? I'm a Christian. Nowadays, we'd say, Paul would say, hey, to the Republicans, I became a Republican, and to the Democrats, I became a Democrat. I found common ground with people wherever I was at, and I began to disciple them from there. Let me explain this. Here's the image that God put in my head. Let's say the stage is truth. That's where we should be living. We should know the truth. And let's say the further back you go, the more lies you are believing. So, David, you need to go to the back. As followers of Jesus, we live here. We stay here. We live here. But as followers of Jesus who live in the world today, here's what we should be willing to do. We should be willing to meet people where they are at. So let's say that Randy's sitting up here, he's towards the front, he might know some of the truth. He's still not a Christian. He's still not the one who knows the truth. He does not know Jesus, but he is someone who tends to know what Jesus taught. Maybe he's been in church his whole life. He's heard the truth. He's heard the truth being taught. He knows what is sin. He knows what's not sin, but yet he doesn't know the one who is truth yet, so he doesn't know it completely. Then guess what? The distance between where I am and where I need to meet Randy at is short. So I can find common ground with Randy. We can find common ground in regards to homosexuality. We can find common ground in regards to abortion, the race issues in the world today, whatever it may be. But what I do is I meet him where he's at, and I sit down with him. And I talk with him. I don't talk to him. I don't stand on the stage and yell at him, looking down on him. I walk with him and begin leading him back this way. Let's go back here. Good luck, Bernard, following me. I'm going to sit next to you, Wes. Wes is further back. He knows less truth than Randy up there. I'm just going to use this as an example. Let's say that Wes, he does not believe in homosexuality. Let's say he does. Let's say that someone sitting in this section, let's say they are a homosexual, that they desire a relationship with someone else. I can sit down with Wes and say, you know what? God created us for relationships. And we can agree on that. It's nice to feel loved, isn't it? It's nice to be in a relationship with someone that cares about you. I'm meeting him where he's at. But then I begin working our way back to the stage. And I say, you know, he designed us for relationships, but he designed us for a male and female relationship. And all of a sudden, I've moved him up a little bit closer. And you know what? The best relationship you can ever have is with the one who is truth. I'm moving him closer. Hey, I've become who I needed to become to reach Wes. Do I still keep my convictions up here? Yeah. I didn't compromise on that, but I'm finding common ground with them where they are at. What I'm doing is I'm offering them the water. You can take it, David. I'm offering them the water in the desert when they're looking for truth. We can sit down with people wherever they're at on this spectrum, whether they're close to the truth or whether they're far away from the truth. We can reach them where they're at because there is a bit of truth that they know. Why? Because they whether they realize it or not, they recognize that there is a creator, and his name is Jesus. We know him. Scripture says that you can look around, look at creation, and you know that all of this didn't just happen. That all of this was designed by someone else. And we all have our conscience that God has built us in because we were all made within the image of God. So we all have some degree of knowing good and evil. And so we need to meet these people where they are at. But we don't go to Wes back here. I'm going to do Dennis, the real center here. We don't go back here and we stay back here with them. You know, we don't come back here and say, hey, you don't need to go up there, Dennis. You can just stay right here and keep living the way that you're living. Keep talking to the rhinos that you've been talking to at the zoo. You know, keep living that way. Keep pulling for the Bruins, boo. But this is what the churches who have compromised have done. They've stopped leading them back to the truth. They've tried moving the truth from the stage to right here. And now you just got to line up to this. But that's not the truth. You're not leading them to Jesus. You're leading them to people. What we have to do, church, is we've got to be willing to sit down with these people, meet them where they're at, give them the water in the desert, but we lead them back to the one who is truth. And until we start doing that, David, you can just keep the cup. You're welcome. Until we start doing that, the church is going to continue to lose ground in the world today. Until we start doing that, until we start being the people that Jesus has called us to be, and still, until we start keeping to the word and following the way of Jesus, the church is going to lose ground, and there's going to be souls that are sent to hell. And what I'm teaching you is not a new thing. What I'm teaching you is not something that I came up with. What I'm teaching you is the way that Jesus reached you. Jesus didn't stand up on this stage from his point of truth and yell at you, did he? He didn't say, hey, you're a sinner. Stay there. He didn't make you feel like you couldn't get here. He went and sat down with you and led you back here. He left the 99 to find the one. Why? Because he loves you. I hope you love the people in the world as Jesus loves them. And you're willing to not be the one that stands up here and yells at them and shames them for living in sin. Hey, you're a drunk. Hey, you're a drug addict. Don't have anything to do with those people. I hope you're willing to go down and sit with them, meet them where they're at, and walk them back to Jesus. That's the way of Jesus, and that's the way that Jesus reached you. Or it's how he desired to reach you. I wonder if there's someone here today who maybe you've been hurt by the church in the past. Maybe you've been misled because the church compromised, or maybe the church has used the water as a weapon. And it's hurt your relationship with God, and for that I want to apologize on behalf of God and behalf of the church. I'm sorry the church treated you that way. That wasn't Jesus. I don't want anybody to miss Jesus because of the way the church has treated them. We don't follow people. We follow a person. And that person is God in the flesh, and his name is Jesus. And he loves you. He desires a relationship with you, and he wants to offer you that water in the desert. He says, come to me, all who are thirsty. He's willing to quench your thirst, but you have to receive him today. So if you will, please stand to your feet.